Hey, it's Mike. On this episode of Tech Talk Tuesday, we talk tech for about 10 minutes, and then we go in a total diversion down the road of masturbation. So I think you're going to enjoy this one. Remember to like and subscribe, 5-star review. That's what we need. Get us to the top, baby. Make us rise. Here we go. Half-ass is the best ass you're going to get this time around.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. I'm leaving that in here, bitch. And good morning, fuckers, and welcome to another day of the Daily BM with Mike and Brad. We are going to jetstart your morning with some boring coffee and away to go. And away we go. And here we are for this Tech Tuesday. Michael, what are you? I don't know why I'm talking in like that fucking 50s like radio announcer voice. Like, and away we go. Here we are. Welcome to the jam on 98.63.
It's because you're getting older, so now your voice is starting to turn older. That's how you just communicate.
Oh, God. Fuck. You know, how's that for you? Fucky.
Here, well, during the show, I'm going to solve a Rubik's Cube. How's that sound? That sound like a good time?
Dude, you can do that in like 5 seconds. You've done this before on shows.
I have. I'm now working on the new one. Ooh, look at that.
Oh, wait.
That
you looks, got the you got the four. What is that? Four-sided now?
It's Rubik's Revenge.
Rubik's Revenge. Have you been able to beat it?
No, not yet.
Close. You suck. I'm just kidding.
I'm close. I'm just Dude. It's a little bit off.
Yeah, I would never be able to solve that bitch.
Why?
It's because it's an artwork. You've been playing that shit for like years, decades.
No, 6 months.
Oh, you're a liar. You played that shit before when it first came out. There's no way you only played it 6 months.
No.
You swear to God you've only played Rubik's Cube.
I swear on my life. You want to know how it happened? And this is going to be fucked up. Right, I mean, this is going to be fucked up when I say this.
Let's listen to it. All right, you have the floor. Go.
Basically, what happened was, is I was at a party, and there was this autistic kid, and he was sitting there, and he was solving the Rubik's Cube. And I was like, if he can do it, I can do it. And I picked it up and fucking figured it out.
And then he smacked you and said, that's not how you do it. Took it out of your hand.
No, not at all. No, I didn't. I didn't actually like talk to him. I just witnessed that he was doing it and was intrigued. And I was like, if he can solve it, I can solve this thing too.
So how long did it take you to solve it though? From the moment you picked it up to your first solve? Be honest. Don't lie either, you asshole. I know how you are.
Well, I had to learn the algorithms because it's algorithms to get through it. It's not just looking at it. Like you literally have to learn the movements and algorithms. And it took me about a week to figure it out. But once I figured it out, now it's really quick.
Hello, I am Michael. I am the human AI. That's what I think about what you're saying. I have to figure out the algorithm.
It's just now it's an algorithm of movements. And I'm not good enough to where I can like tell you what they are exactly. I can just do them.
So it's just like it's like hard encoded in your brain now. Is what you're there, basically saying.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's just like everything else where you muscle memory. Like you just learn the muscle. You know what to look for, and then you just do it. Right. So you just start.
It's kind of like throwing a baseball or throwing a curveball, whatever. You just kind of know how to hold the baseball and how to throw it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
your
body just learns it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just the movement. You know, yeah. I don't know what's more annoying, you eating or hearing the Rubik's Cube go crazy. I know if Eddie's listening, he's gotta be losing his fucking mind.
I wonder if he still listens to the show.
I don't know. I'm going to ask
Eddie,
him.
Eddie, are you still out there? Are you still out there, Eddie?
No, because he just signed off the minute he heard. Because it's like you're chewing.
I'm almost done, guys. Almost done. Like,
no, it's all good.
Almost done. So what are we talking about today?
So this Technology Tuesday, I figured we would talk about a little bit about implant chips, the Neuralink stuff.
Ooh,
like Elon's talking.
I'm excited about that shit. What
made me think about this? Was I watched a movie. It's an older movie, but it's called Upgrade.
Yeah.
And basically, it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix, right? Yeah.
Yep. Do you want me to tell you about it, or do you want to wait to see it?
No, you can tell me about it. I mean, I don't give a shit. I'll watch it anyways, probably one day, like in 30 years.
When it's a super classic?
When I get a free moment to sit down and like go, what's on TV?
All right. So basically, this guy, he gets this neurochip kind of like from a Steve Jobs looking dude, right? Because he gets into an accident and it makes him a paraplegic when you can only use your from your waist up?
Yes.
Is that what that is? Paraplegic?
Quadriplegic. You can't use anything. Paraplegic.
Yeah, you can't use any of your limbs. Right. Okay.
Use your legs.
So he becomes like that when his wife dies. So they put this chip in him.
Jesus Christ.
Hold on. I don't want to give away the whole shindig, but I'm just telling you why the chip thing's kind of cool.
That's horrible. Like, you just throw that into the side. Oh, yeah, he's a paraplegic and his wife dies. Now not only can he not use his legs, lived he happily, also has no woman.
Hey, so he lived happily ever after. So
the end.
The end. He has a feeding tube. He's good, but
true story. It's like true story, bro.
I know, seriously. So anyway, so he goes. So he become he integrates with this chip, right? But the chip can take over his body. Ooh, like, so he's present.
That sounds sexy.
So he's present, but the AI takes over and makes all the movements for him, and then like lightning reaction speed. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
So like he gets into a fight. Yeah, he gets into a fight, dude, and it's like he's fighting like Steven Seagal times 20. You know what I mean? It's like fucking insane how fast he moves.
Are we talking like marked for death Steven Seagal?
Yeah, marked for death, not cop Steven Seagal. Not 12 cheeseburgers this morning, Steven Seagal. Yeah,
are we talking the Native Warrior Steven Seagal?
Yeah, exactly. Not the 300-pound Seagull, but, you know, the 155. Ah, damn, dude. That was the regular one. You just finished that Rubik's Cube. Some bitch.
Mission completed.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So basically,
right, we have old school Steven Seagal fighting style from this guy that's been upgraded by AI, just so that way we can listen.
So I don't want to tell you, but it's pretty fucked up how it ends. So it was actually a pretty decent watch. I was actually pleasantly surprised. It was a good watch. So I gave it a thumbs up to watch it. So anyway, so what got me thinking about it is that Elon Musk now is saying that the second person has been hooked up to this Neuralink brain chip because they have a spinal cord injury, and he says it's working.
Yes, I've seen that. So, that's badass.
So it's like
beep 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 beep.
You know, his exact quote was, "I don't want to jinx it, but it seems to have gone extremely well with the second implant." Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a lot of signal, a lot of electrodes. It's working very well, is what his exact quote was. But, you know, when I watched this movie, I thought to myself, what keeps that AI from saying, hey, fuck you, I'm going to shut you out and I'm just going to live the life for you. And you're stuck in your own brain. Like, you're stuck in your own head. I mean, would that kind of suck?
Yeah, that's my biggest fear.
I mean, these people put these chips in their head without any, like, thinking of any repercussion, man, because they're thinking about how it's bad they want to walk again. Mm-hmm. What happens if the AI decides, or, you know, whatever, the Neuralink decides it wants to take over your body functions and keeps you trapped in your fucking mind and says, hey, fuck you, I'm going to live my life the way I want to because I have now been self-aware because I'm using your body. I mean, how fucked up would that be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, it made me stop and think for a second because, you know, we're part of the Iron Council and we have, like, you know, our guys groups and we have conversations, stuff like that.
I can see where this is going.
And in one of the conversations, you know, the guy was like, you know, what's your worst case scenario and how would you work your way through it? And, you know, and how you would you get back to where you are? Well, no, because I said, listen, like, I literally wrote, I was like, you know, if any situation that comes up, like you lose your car, you lose your wife, you lose your job, you know, you have the ability to get all of that back with mindset. But the one thing that scares me the most would be getting in an accident and waking up and being completely locked in my body, like being fully conscious and fully aware, but not being able to move or communicate. Because at that point, it's like there's nothing you could do. Like, how do you come back from that?
You don't.
Like, you can't will yourself back into existence, and you can't kill yourself. You're just trapped. So
you're just trapped. You're fucked until somebody pulls a cord on you.
And that made me think of that movie with Hilary Swank in it, the boxing movie. It was Million Dollar Baby with Clint Eastwood.
Yep.
You remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Where she gets paralyzed and trapped in her body, and he has to put her down. Like the dog,
he has to put her down.
He does. That's what I said.
Like, he has to put her down.
Yeah, the horse.
We're really
like,
sorry
like
about this, but we're going to give you lethal injection.
Like the prize race horse he is, he has to put her down. You can't box no more. You're done. Ciao.
You're out.
Just kidding. But yeah, so yeah. I was just thinking that like that's like worst case scenario. But then with this Neuralink, could you imagine if that fixes that for people? Like somebody has a broken spine and they can literally just override it with like a Wi-Fi, like your own personal Wi-Fi signal that like connects your brain to your legs.
What happens if you drop signal, dude? All of a sudden you fall to the ground.
I mean, and that's going to be in the beginning. That'd be in the beginning, oops. You know, just oops. Oops.
We're sorry.
Or you get hacked and all of a sudden you're sitting in the back like doing the YMCA and shit and you can't control yourself. YMCA. He's been jacked. Ooh, that'd be a whole nother movie.
Speaking of Jack, dude, it reminds me of that stupid one that you saw with the guy with the robotic arm where his hand starts jerking off like super fast. Because that'd be your luck, dude. You super stream your freaking meat away. You know what I mean? Friction going crazy.
I could never trust it.
I could either, dude. Or could you?
I could never.
Do you mean
trust
to tell
it.
Me you wouldn't? Wait, do you mean to tell me you wouldn't try it at least once?
No.
You wouldn't try to like grip it into it and say, "Okay,
no,
this feels pretty good. Let me go up and down on it." Because think about it, it's a prosthetic hand, so it's probably got a rubbery feeling. You put a little in there, you know.
Nah, that's not.
You'd be
for me.
Afraid of it go crazy on you, go nuts.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been second guessing masturbation too.
Yeah, it's not really, worth the reward really, anymore.
I've been really thinking about it a lot lately, about the pros and the cons.
Oh, okay. Wait. So the show's about to take a completely different turn. Hold on. You can't say something like that. Yeah, Tech Talk Tuesday just turned into Testicle Tuesday because I got to figure out what the hell you just meant by that.
Oh.
So, guys, buckle up. It's about to get interesting the next
10
minutes.
I'm still soul searching about it. So I really haven't
gone
into the full depths
of it. Well, just tell
us what you're
thinking. Because all of a sudden, you can't say something like this on the show and then all of a sudden.
I can't. I can do whatever I want.
I know you can, but you can't expect me not to go, okay, hold on a second. Let's take a right hand turn and let's go over this a little bit.
All right. So here we go.
Tell us why. Here we go. Digging in deep.
I feel.
Okay.
Number one. I feel like it's a quick dopamine hit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
what it is.
And I feel like it's robbing you of the drive to be
to want to get it
successful, like with sex and or everything else. I feel like
yeah, you're right.
It fosters laziness.
I agree.
On the mindset. Like it's, and I feel like it's a bad, so a lot of times, and the reason I started thinking about this a lot more lately is because, you know, I've been talking to a lot more people that, you know, have issues or they believe they have issues. And,
we have a guy that I know that is actually having issues. Yes.
And, also, I've been doing a lot of reading on research just for show and notes and stuff like that, just in general, mm-hmm. like not just masturbation and pornography, but it's just like, you know, the rapid decline in males pursuing females and mm-hmm. also, you know, how much later in life men are waiting to have sex, how much later in life they're waiting to get married, you know, just this progression away from the masculine. I've just been really fascinated by that. And it's, you know, when you watch porn, there's no rejection.
Of course.
So there's no risk. It's all reward, no risk. It's basically there's not, you turn it on, you pick what you want, you get your dopamine hit, and then you're happy go lucky. And I feel like it makes you want to try less in life. And
I can see that
you end up not pursuing other types of dopamine hits, such as like, for instance, say you're having something that's stressing you out
mm-hmm.
and you go and masturbate and then it relieves the stress because now you had that dopamine, you're calm, you're not really thinking about it. but you didn't really alleviate the problem. You just put like a stopgap in. So what happens is when the dopamine wears off, the stress comes back even worse. So now what do? You go masturbate again, you know, because you're like, oh, I got to fix it. You know, like this is a quick fix. Yep. So you end up constantly doing that. And then you have to do it more often to get the same dopamine hit. Because your body gets used to it. Yeah, it is a drug. I mean, it literally is a drug.
It's a chemical drug.
And it just got me thinking about it. It's like, okay, what if I never do this again? Like, what if I just like focus on the other parts of life? You know what I'm saying? Like literally like get after it, so to speak. So I've just been contemplating that. So I just don't know. Like, yeah, that's kind of my, that's inside Mike Preston's brain for like 30 seconds.
I also do believe it as you age, and now correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I do believe
you're older than I am.
You start to, I am by about 7 years, but the reality is you start to not lose interest, but the rest of your physical body starts to say, okay, it's time to start slowing down on that thought process. Because you're not alone. I mean, I literally thought the same thing over the last couple of weeks. Easy.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. And
I mean, I wasn't really never that often kind of guy. Like, I literally, like, for me, it was like maybe once every 2 weeks.
Right.
Like, it wasn't a consistent thing. You know, like, I mean, I know there's people out there that do it multiple times a day.
What the fuck? Really?
Yeah.
Jeez, damn.
Yeah.
I can understand maybe if you're in your 20s, you know, or
30s. Not too long ago, you were like a self-proclaimed one of those type of people.
but that stopped. That stopped.
Yeah.
Because it's just like you said, it takes number one, too much time. It's a quick relief. It doesn't go away. It's kind of like taking an ice plunge, you know?
Right.
You release all those good feel good chemicals, but then you got to take it the next day. You know, or the following, you know, every 2 days, however you want to do it. And then makes you lose focus on everything else around you. So,
I totally agree with you there. So I know that's a segue from Tech Talk Tuesday, but I think that, you know, and that's what scares me in the world of tech is there's so many things that you can do with technology that, completely eliminates risk.
Right.
I mean, you have the psychological risk, like for instance, playing like a horror video game. You know, your body doesn't know the difference between when your mind is in fight or flight mode. It doesn't really know the difference. So you have the same exact feelings as if it was real.
Right. And the virtual ones especially.
Yeah. But you're not actually in any physical danger.
Right.
But I wonder if you actually get the same level of growth, you know, doing the virtual as far as versus actually having the risk, you know, like if you skydive virtually out of a plane and you're scared to death of it, because, you know, you've seen people on Instagram and TikTok, they have the VR glasses on and they freak the fuck out when they're falling and stuff. It just scares the shit out of them. But I'm wondering if it's the same benefit as actually jumping out of a plane. And I don't know. I don't know if it is or not. Like, I don't know if you have a virtual experience, if it's the same as a real experience for your body.
Obviously, I've never been to space. So whenever Caleb brought over his you know, virtual reality goggles, and I put it on and I was climbing outside the International Space Station.
Yeah.
My body actually thought when I opened the hatch and went out there, my mind thought I was there for a split second. Like, I literally went like this. Whoa. I just like got freaked out a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, because it felt so real. The only difference was I wasn't in a spacesuit breathing oxygen in a vacuum that could kill me instantaneously, which I'm sure that would have brought it to a whole nother level. You know? So.
Yeah.
I would have to say you probably get the initial reaction, like the first. But then after that, it's kind of like, okay, I know I can reboot or I can reset and respawn. You know what I mean? If something bad happens in life, it doesn't work that way. If you get into a car accident, you know, you're going to be eaten out of a straw. If you get in a bad car accident, you get in a bad car accident in a game or a virtual reality. Oh, okay. You're okay. You know, let me not do that the next time. So I think that's where your brain starts kicking in going, okay, this isn't real. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. See, I don't know. Like, I don't know how it affects.
I guess we'd have to have more research.
Affects your mind and your body. I mean, that'd be interesting to do more research, because I do feel like it's like going back to the pornography again. It's all reward, no risk, because there's no chance of being turned down. You know,
no rejection. You know, you're going to get the infinality of it.
Yeah.
And it's an easy win.
You don't have to put any work
win.
Into it. Yeah, no, there's no, you don't have to put any work into it.
Mm-hmm. It's an easy win. So, I don't even like calling it an easy win, because it's just, it's not even a win. It's just, it's a drug. You're getting a drug release. It's no different than smoking a joint, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and alcohol is the same way. You know, it's to hide behind your feelings and hide behind your, you know, your stuff. I mean, like myself included, I haven't had alcohol in over 2 weeks. So,
yeah,
you know,
see, alcohol never does that for me. Like, I don't, there's guys that have that issue too. And I don't,
I've never understood the alcoholism myself. I've never had a problem with it, controlling that, but I've never had a problem with controlling any type of substance when it comes
to
that.
But I don't know what it is. Like, here's the thing. Like, okay. So like, you know, there was a time where you'd come home and have like a drink every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like after work, like one drink.
Yep.
Like, when would that be considered like an addiction? Because it's a habit every day, or, you know, or not. Like, is it like,
I can honestly say
that, yeah, sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Not even interrupt.
I'll just try to finish my thought. Because it doesn't necessarily, just because you want it every day, does that mean that it's an addiction? You know what I mean? Like, or you just enjoy it. Like, if you have a cigar every single day, are you an addict? Because you want it and it makes you happy? Like, that's where I have the issue with it, because it's like, I mean, is it like you can give it up or you can't give it up? Because there's a lot of guys that, like, you know, that say they'd like, you know, have like an alcohol addiction, but then they can do like a 30-day sober. But then they go back to alcohol because they enjoy it. Like, they love the way it tastes. They have like the party, but then it throws them off their goals a little bit, because
I'm going to be honest with you.
So I don't know.
I believe it's like anything in life. You have to have it in moderation. So for instance, I really don't drink during the week at all. If I do have a drink, it would be a Friday or a Saturday night type thing. Now, I will tell you this. You are absolutely right. If you drink during the week, now, I don't know about you, but as I've gotten older, it affects me a lot differently now. So
see, it depends.
I literally physically hurt from it.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It beats me up. It beats me up. Alcohol is shitty to me because it beats me up.
How much are you talking about drinking, though?
Like if
is
I
that
had
after, like one old fashioned?
I can drink one old fashioned, maybe two, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like ass for a couple hours when I wake up, 2 or 3 hours after I wake up. I just feel like assholes. And I don't know if maybe it's because I'm getting old, you know, which is probably it. Because, I mean, I drink a lot of water. You know, I'm eating right during the week. I'm doing things I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it, too, because I don't really drink like that anymore. Now, you talked to me a year ago.
Yeah.
And I could tell you I could drink every day and not have a fucking problem with it, because I think your body builds up a resistance to it and starts saying, hey, that's part of my normal everyday regimen. Okay, I know how to deal with it. But when you zing your body like I have, like I know the first time I have an alcoholic beverage, it's been 2 weeks since I had it, I'm going to feel it. Like the one thing's for sure is I've become a cheap date, you know, because I can't drink heavy anymore. Like we go out with friends and other couples, man, that can drink like religiously, like like it's like nothing. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I just can't. I feel like total shit. It makes me, and like you said, it takes you away from goals. So I know if I've got shit I got to do on Saturday or Sunday and I drink like that, it literally wipes half my day clean because I'm taking a half a day to recover from it.
See, I don't feel like that. Like it doesn't, I don't know.
Well, you're also 7 years younger. Give it 7 years and come back and have this conversation with me. And then I can tell you right now, you probably be a little.
But I've also never drank the way you drank. Like I've never, you know, had more than a couple of beers,
except for one night.
that one Halloween
night where I left you hanging with your nuts out and I kicked you in the balls and left you hanging.
I mean that. But, I mean I've had a couple of nights like that, but I'm talking about like on the regular,
right?
You know,
no,
I mean,
I had them
been,
on the regular.
There's been a couple nights in my lifetime where I've had a lot to drink.
Right.
But those are few and far between. I could probably count them on my hand, like one hand, five
nights. No, I'm sure.
48 years, you know.
No, I need my hands, my toes, your toes, your hands. Probably your wife's hands and toes.
Yeah, like I've never been blackout drunk. Even that one night that we had all that tequila, I was still I still remember everything. Like I've never had a night where I've lost track of time from drinking.
I've had three in my life that I can honestly recall that I had blackouts three times, like three majors, and two of them were when I was very young. And the other one was when I was older, and you already know that story about the Christmas party,
right,
that I attended.
You know, I had a Jack and Coke on Friday night,
right?
Just one, you know,
right?
And there was no reason for it. Like I wasn't like I had a bad day. There was nothing. It was just like
you just wanted one.
I was like, this just sounds good right now. Like I just want to have one, relax, and it tasted great. And it was it. Like that was it. It wasn't like I was drinking to escape anything. I wasn't drinking to like, you know, solve my problems. It was just, it tasted good. Hey, you know, like
I had a cigar myself on Friday night, dude. I literally lit up a cigar and I sat in my ice plunge for 8 to 10 minutes. I literally just sat there and I had my beanie hat on, you know, my winter beanie hat. I just was like, just chilling. I look like an idiot, you know, if my neighbors go past me, but I was just like, hey, what's up, man? Deuces, bitches.
Yeah. But, yeah. And I like a cigar every once in a while too, you know, but
yeah,
it's interesting.
It's like anything in life, with moderation.
Like when does it become like an addiction? And I guess
it becomes an addiction when you put it above your goals, like you said.
Yeah.
When you put those addictions, when you put those things above, like your things that you know you need to get done, things that are going to help you succeed and take you to another level, I think that's when it becomes an addiction. You know what I mean? If you're doing it every day to like, or to escape reality, like if you're using it because you don't want to punch your wife, you know what I mean? Because you have like a temper and you're trying to drink, which people don't realize that escalates it usually. But, you know what I mean? If you're trying to escape a situation by drugs or alcohol or anything like that, then I think that's when it becomes a problem.
I think it could be any vice though. You know, I mean, that's like,
just like you said earlier, same thing.
You know, if somebody constantly goes to the gym to avoid, you know, their life or to deal with all their problems, that might be an addiction too. You know, true. I mean,
I'm not,
alcohol and tobacco and drugs and all that stuff, they get a bad rap because they're also physically bad for you.
I think it's because it's a substance, not necessarily a mindset.
Yeah.
No? I mean, I get where you're coming from. Like if you go to the gym regularly and you were going in there
porn's not a substance. It's the same situation.
No, because we were just talking about it earlier, because you're still getting a dopamine release. So that it's a chemical because the final product is giving you a drug.
You get an adrenaline dopamine hit too when you're working out.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. So that could I agree with you is what I'm saying. I'm just thinking it's like maybe described a little bit differently.
I mean, like a sex addict, you know, like that's, you're addicted to sex.
Yeah.
You know. Food addiction. You can have all sorts of weird addictions. I mean, there's people addicted to eating toilet paper. Like, I mean, you can watch My Strange Addiction and see all these.
What's wrong with eating toilet paper? No, I'm just kidding.
It's not. I guess not it's okay thing. If it's like mostly organic, but you know, if it's got a bunch of like leeches and stuff in it.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
Let's revisit this conversation. I mean, I'm sorry guys that you thought it was going to be all tech talk, but we went down a rabbit hole.
What's interesting is that like tech is going to make life safer and
but
more
to what expense?
Risk and more risk free, but to what extent, you know, what expense exactly, you know, that's the thing with tech is like, it makes everything safer as far as what you do, you know, like, would you go bungee jumping if it was just a rope, you know, and you didn't have all the harnesses and stuff like that? You'd be like, oh, this is kind of crazy. I might snap my back, you know, like,
you can go into virtual reality and do it and not worry about it.
Yeah. Would you scale the side of a mountain if you didn't have as much pieces of technology with you, like the anchors that, you know, work well and the rope and the carabiners and the
set GPS it to easy. Phone.
Yeah. You know, like,
and
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying that like the more safety, the easier it is to do, like, you know, to get to do it because you're not scared you're going to die, because it takes the risk of death out of it. as much.
If you can take any risk out of anything, everybody will be more willing to do it. I think the risk is what is worth, is what the reward is, you know, that you made it through that risk and got the win.
So, you know, it's like watching Shark Week versus diving with sharks, you know?
Correct. Oh, it's night and day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, watching spiders and stuff and then being like arachnophobia, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then instead of just facing it head on and trying to overcome it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's no risk because you're watching it on TV. You know how they're interacting and crawling on things and stuff, even though it might trip you out a little bit, but you know,
yeah,
it's
but
not
you still get,
you.
You know, like you still sit there and you get the, you know, you get the adrenaline rush and you get the panic for the person. Like you live vicariously through them. So your body still goes, into fight or flight mode, you know, like,
right. Yeah, so you're still getting a little bit of a release.
There's been movies I've watched in the past where I start to get like a cold sweat for the people, you know, it's like, oh my God,
come on.
Especially the ones where it deals with like extreme claustrophobia or having to like travel through caverns and caves. That's like one of my biggest phobias.
That's my
biggest one. We could talk about that on another one.
Let's do that, for sure.
We can wrap this up.
Well, listen, guys, don't forget, you know, this total episode was sponsored by Adam and Eve. No, I'm just kidding. No, but thanks for tuning in today, man. We really bullshit. But no, thanks for tuning in today. We really appreciate you guys listening. Again, you know, we talked a little technology, a little bit, took a rabbit hole down the other direction, which I'd like to revisit on another show. Don't forget to head over to thedailybm.com. That's where we have all our socials where you can link to and talk to us on there as well. Mason Danger, beardco.com. You get 20% off just by using the promo code DAILYBM. Mikey, before we go, you got anything for anybody?
Hey, everybody, have a great day. And remember, just go out there and get after it. Take a little risk, get a little reward.
There you go. And that's enough said. And with that, we'll catch you guys on the flip side. See you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
Deuces.